Title this morning is Choosing Between the Spirit and the Flesh. Choosing Between the Spirit and the Flesh. I cannot believe it is the last Sunday of February. Can you believe that? February 24th. Next week when we get together, it's a whole new month. March is here. Can't believe how fast time is going. It's not slowing down, amen? But God's never changing, is He? He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's awesome, and He's mighty, and He's worthy to be praised, amen? Let's see here. You know, last week we talked a little bit about being led by the Spirit of God. And we talked about how God wants us to follow the things of God and be led by the Holy Spirit, and that He lives and He dwells inside of us. And as we look at this morning, as we look at the Bible and we look at the Scriptures, there's this war that goes on between us, between our flesh and the Spirit. There's this war that says, you know, I want to do the things right, but I still want to do it my way. And what we need to understand is there's only one way of doing it, in His way. And when we do it His way, we're going to be blessed. See, there's an opposing entity called flesh. And the flesh gets in the way of us getting all the things that God wants us to have. And there's a warring that goes on. And our flesh is really a mindset. Because when we get saved, what happens is we get recreated in our spirit man by our Lord Jesus Christ. But our minds still go unchanged. So that's the reason why, yeah, you get born again, but people are still, their mindsets are old. They're still making the same poor decisions they used to make. Because, you know, the mindset is really your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul. And that doesn't get changed unless you use God's Word. Amen? So the flesh is the mindset that really goes against the Word of God. And there's a process that begins to happen. When you start to change your mindset, it starts to go against what the nature of your flesh, and then there's this struggle, there's this ongoing battle going on, and you're saying, what is happening to me? I want to do the right thing, but I continue to still choose some wrong things. And there's a struggle that goes on. Do I do things the world's way, or do I do things God's way? But I want to tell you, last week we said that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is your guide, is your conscience to get you to make the right choices and the right decisions. So this morning we're going to see what the Word of God has to say about choosing between the Spirit and the flesh. If you want to stand for the reading of the Word, it's a very brief scripture found in Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1, the Amplified Bible. Romans 8:1. Amplified Bible says it this way: therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many do we have those who are in Christ Jesus? We got all of us, right? Those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. In other words, we're going to follow the things of God before we follow the things of the flesh. In other words, we want to follow what God wants us to do and not what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to take the shortcuts, but God may want to take you down this longer road to get you to where you need to go, because there's something He wants to show you along the way. Heavenly Father, bless our service. Let our ears be open to what You're going to say. Holy Spirit, guide us and direct our conversations this morning. Do what You want to do through me. I just want to be Your mouthpiece to use. So guide and direct, Lord, what I'm going to say this morning. And Lord God, let Your people open their ears to hear, because transformation is about to take place. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated if you can. There's no condemnation. Don't feel guilty, for we're in Christ Jesus. We don't walk after the things of the flesh, but we walk after the things of the Spirit. And there's a conflict that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is used to describe a person's body. But the flesh is also our soul of a person, which consists of their mind, their will, and their emotions. God wants to change our mindset, but we have to make ourselves available to be used by God. We change our mindset by reading the Word, by prayer, by getting into the Scripture and seeing how it applies. We begin to break our will off us, and then His will becomes our will. Amen? You ever heard of a strong-willed child, but once you smack them enough doing something, they don't do that anymore? I had a strong-willed cat that used to do the same thing. Once I smacked it a few times, it wasn't strong-willed. Amen? Sometimes God needs to smack us a little bit to get our attention, to get focused on what He wants us to get done. Amen? He's not there to hurt you. He's there to help you. Think about Paul for a minute. Paul said that part of him always wanted to do right. That's what the spirit man said. But then there was another part of Paul that he even said that even though I know what's right, I continue to do what's wrong in the flesh. So if Paul had issues with the battle of our spirit and our flesh, who's to say we're going to be exempt? We're going to still go through the same battles and those same issues. But you've got to know that we need to choose the spirit way of doing things, not the things of the world. Amen? And our struggles as Christians is really a struggle against the flesh, our mindset that opposes the Word. We have been ingrained for so long certain ways of doing things, and God's saying those ways have not ever been right, but we follow them. We've been taught some things. But God wants to retrain us. God wants to teach us. God wants to change our thinking. And we need to know that there's really a war that goes on in our flesh, in our spirit. And the more that you get His Word in you, the more that your mindset changes, and the more that your will changes to be like His will. Because what we want to do is we want to do the will of God. We want what He wants us to do. Amen? Because, you know, left to our own devices, we will mess things up. Amen? I said last week we were talking about a story about, last week I shared that I had purchased a vehicle. And one of the reasons why I bought the vehicle is because of the gas mileage. And usually I'm at the gas station 2 to 3 days a week. You know, the same tank of gas that was put in there last Saturday is still the same tank of gas in there. I haven't even filled up yet. And I drove a whole bunch of hundreds of miles. It just tells you how good God is. When you follow God's plan, I'm getting supernatural gas mileage, amen, in a big old truck. That's how God works when you listen to Him, amen. I just threw that in as an extra. There's no point to that. I just thought I'd go there, amen. But when you do listen to God, when you start doing things His way and you start to break your will for His will, life's a lot better, amen. Sometimes we have our old mindsets, and the problem is our old mindsets we think are right are just a little off. And you know, if you are in a boat and you are only a degree off, you're going to miss your port. So God wants to make sure that your word that you hear from God is accurate, that the things He's asked you to do that you do, because He has a specific way of doing things, and His ways are not our ways. And we got to understand that sometimes it doesn't make sense that He's taking us down this certain pathway, but God's got a better plan. Amen? Bless you. I want you to consider something today. Consider the way you used to be to who you are today in Christ. Remember what you used to do? Remember who you used to hang around with? Remember the words you used to speak? Remember how you used to act? Remember how you used to walk? And now you've got this revelation knowledge of Christ who lives inside of you. And you don't do those same crazy things. Or you do them a lot less. You don't get upset like you used to. You don't do the childish things anymore, because you've spent some time with God, and no longer are you doing it your way, you're doing it His way. So I want to share a scripture with you in 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. God, I like how that all goes together. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. This is in the Message translation. The Message breaks this down for us to understand it today. And I like this because I looked at the different scriptures of this verse through different translations. And I like this Message translation because it breaks it down for you and for me to understand that God's an awesome God. Amen. It says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 21. It says, "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into life." So I had to stop there for that. I got to say, I remember what I used to be like. I wasn't always a nice person. I was kind of arrogant. I was conceited. I was cocky. I was a jerk. Some people would say I was a donkey, but they used a different word for it. It says, "I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society family." In other words, we don't have a bunch of Rockefellers hanging around with us. We don't have a bunch of Prince Charmans. But isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses and chooses the nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? I like that. I was a nobody in the world. I wasn't really called to be a pastor. I would have never figured that. I was the least, not the most likely. I didn't like to get in front of people and speak. I was nervous. I would shake and sweat, get butterflies. I'd be the least that culture would pick. It says, and that makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything, say everything, that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of our friend Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is why we have the saying, if you're going to blow your horn, blow your trumpet for God. He uses the most unlikely people to get done things for His Son. He uses Moses, who was a stutterer and a murderer, to glorify God. He will use people like you and I. It's not that we have this, we're not high society. Like I said, we didn't come from a whole bunch of wealth, or we weren't a son or a daughter of a movie star, or a football or basketball player. No. We're just ordinary. Nobody's in the world, but we're somebody to God. Because God will take a nobody, and when it's placed in His hand, become a somebody. See, the flesh is a resource by which we can gain status and wisdom and strength. Let me say that again. The flesh is a resource by which we can gain status, wisdom, and strength. And the flesh wishes to provide a sense of identity that's based on our intellect, our physical characteristics, or our social status. Our flesh thrives on wanting to be a socialite, a movie star, or perhaps, you know, I look at these actors and I look at these folks that are football players and basketball players and baseball players, and they have all this talent, but it's all about them. People identify that they got this great talent and they're good and all, but they haven't realized that they need to identify the one who put that gift and talent inside them. Because see, when we get recreated in our spirit man, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, He wants to establish our identity in Christ Jesus. It's more important that we identify with Jesus than we do with the world. Amen? He'll take a nobody like us, but when we get identified with Christ, there's something that changes on the inside. God's not interested in you being a movie star and all that, but if you give Him the glory and the honor and the praise, and you can identify with Him who puts you in that position, He's all good with that. But how many do you know? Think about the actors and the actresses, some of those that are on drugs and alcohol, those that have been in and out of jail cells, those that have, you know, shot people, the music rockers, you know, these rappers that had all this stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, their life's in chaos. And they think they have it all, but they really have nothing, because, see, they had identified with themselves, and they said, it's all about me, and it's my beautiful looks that made me the movie star or the supermodel. But they didn't realize it was the Jesus inside of them that gave them that gift and that ability. And he wants to be glorified. See, what happens when you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, he wants you to identify with God. See, we can choose whether we will have confidence in our flesh or we will have confidence in Jesus. It's your choice. I love Tebow because he can say, yeah, I'm a quarterback and I'm in a professional football team, but I identify with Jesus. The reason why I exist, the reason why I can throw a football, the reason why I've been chosen to be in the NFL, is because of Jesus. I'm there as a mouthpiece. I may not be quartering the back the ball today, and I might be sitting on the pines. He's still collecting a big paycheck, and he's tithing on that. Oh. And every time he gets a chance, he says, let me tell you about Jesus. Doesn't say, let me tell you how good I am. I got a raw deal. I haven't been able to throw the football. They got me on the second string instead of the first string, but hey, I'm getting a paycheck. See, we got to choose between our confidence. Is it in God or is it in the flesh? See, we often associate the flesh with some bad habits, and we do have bad habits in the flesh. And sometimes there's these traits in the flesh that seem good. They seem good. Think about this for a minute. The flesh can create this religious or moral living that looks good to others, but is really void of true spiritual development because they sound good, but they don't have a relationship with him. Amen? They say all the correct religious jargon, but they're not spirit-filled. They know what to say to feed the flesh, but spiritually they're dead. See, when you choose to serve Jesus, when you have the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, there is going to be a war between you and your flesh. You got to let the flesh go. You got to die to yourself. Amen. I remember Paul. Paul had to correct the Galatians because they were growing spiritually, or at least trying to grow spiritually through fleshly means. They were trying to do things in the flesh and think that they were going to grow spiritually. The only way you grow spiritually is by spending time with someone who is spiritual. The one you want to spend time with who's spiritual is the Holy Spirit. And then you word his word, and his word is of the word of God is a spirit. And when you read the word, it begins to change your what? Your mindset. It begins to change your will. And it begins to change your emotions. Amen? Take a look at Galatians 3:1. The New Living Translation says it this way, in Galatians 3:1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you've seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? In other words, you can't do it your way. You have to do it his way. But our flesh can come up with 100 excuses of doing it your way. See, we grow spiritually through our dependence on God, rather than the dependence on our self-effort. In other words, we can't do enough to get to heaven. It's by grace. that we've been saved. And God gave us grace, and He gave us mercy, and He gave us Jesus, and He gave us the Holy Spirit that He left behind for you and I. And we need to take inventory on occasion of what we do in the flesh and give those things to God so that He can begin to check those things out so that we start to sound more like Him. We begin to act more like Him. We begin to talk like Him. We don't get upset about situations and circumstances. Amen? We need God to be who we are. Let me say that again. We need God to be who we are. We need to be like God. We need to talk like God. We need to act like God. Why? You're already filled with the Holy Spirit. He already lives inside of you. But most of the time, what comes out of our mouth is flesh instead of His Word. Didn't the Bible say that God started a good work in us? And He's going to finish it. He's committed to our spiritual development until Jesus returns. We need to understand that Jesus is going to return. And that we need to make sure that we are full of the Spirit and not full of the flesh. Oh, Pastor, that, you know, it's hard. You need to die to self. You need to die to your flesh. It is the hardest thing to do, but it's the most rewarding thing to do. My kids laugh at me because I get upset when we go to restaurants and stores and I see people that act like the devil. The more I see it on TV, the more it's in my face, the more angry I get. Why? Because I'm being just like Jesus. The Father gets angry when He sees sin. And it's blatant and it's running rampant and it's okay. It's okay. Do what you want to do. I get angry. I get angry at the decisions of the politicians and the president when they all can't work together. We put you in office, get it done. If you can't, quit. We'll get somebody else that can. I don't want excuses. Because excuses are like buttholes. There's millions of them. Buttholes stink. The excuses they make stink. I'm being real. Because they're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. They want to feed the flesh. They want to fill their coffers and their pocketbooks and the things they want to do because it feels good to the flesh, but it's death to them. Oh, see, I'm just getting charged up. I'll probably get hate mail on. Let's call it the way it is. Come on. Not going to take it anymore. Jesus didn't either. Where can you go get a job and in 4 years become a millionaire? Just go to Congress. And it's Republican and Democrat and independent. First it was Republicans, then it was Democrats, and now I'm becoming independently wealthy. So it's all of them. It's a good old club, but they're serving the flesh and not serving the people. And if they could just get back to the roots of the Word of God and they would get filled with the Spirit, they'd be able to work with each other and things would come together quicker and easily and they wouldn't be blinded by the things of the devil and they wouldn't be worried about their flesh and, oh, how much money I can get or how does this benefit me. But how can I do this so I can bless somebody else? How do I get God to be glorified in this? I think God is weeping over America because of our decisions that we make. I'm not worried about those that are in need, those that are in need, those that are hurting, those that have a disability. Those people we need to help. That's how we were created. What about the other people that are just taking advantage of it? Because they're feeding the flesh. They don't know who the King of Kings is and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because we've taken them out of school and we've taken them out of work. We can't even pray and can't do this and we can't do that. I'm just calling it the way it is. I had to turn off the TV this week at a singing show that was on, American Idol, because they're promoting homosexuality like it's okay. When did that become okay? I love the person. Let me make sure that's clear. I love the person. The sin is nasty. But it's okay. It's all right. We go shopping. We go to the stores. I see it. It gets me angry. Why? Because more of my will is starting to be like the Father. Enough's enough. You got to quit that. Your three boys holding hands and your two girls holding hands, that needs to stop. That goes against what the Word of God says. And when you meet your Creator, it's going to be a little too late. And then you're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. Because I'm going to tell you. Uh-oh. Not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to help you. If I told you at the end of the road, at the end of the street, there was a cliff that was going to, you're going to go over it, don't you want me to tell you that so that you don't go over the cliff? I wish somebody would tell me. I wish somebody would be honest with me. Oh, but you're a Christian, you can't say those things. You're a pastor, you have to love everybody. I do love them. I love them enough to tell them, quit it. What you're doing, your lifestyle is going to kill you. You're drinking, you're smoking, your lifestyle, your it's wrong. You get into office so that you can to benefit yourself, and come on. Change the rules about marriage. I didn't sign up for that. And I don't blame the president. I blame all of them. Because they all have to agree. Someone agreed. I know when two or more of us agree, God is here in our midst. But see, there's some attributes about the flesh. The flesh is the way of thinking that goes against the Word of God. That's why we get these stupid, crazy laws passed. Because it feels good. Makes no sense. Goes against what the Bible would. I mean, if they just opened up the Bible and just took some of the, maybe just half of the Ten Commandments. Maybe they took five. The first five. If they did the first five, they wouldn't do the stuff they do. See, the flesh is a way of walking or operating. It also goes against the way of God. In His Word. The flesh works against the Spirit. It's an opposing force. That's why they've taken the Bible out of schools. That's why they've taken it out of the systems within the government. Why? Because they don't want the Spirit of God there because it makes you accountable. It gives you a gut check and says, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. But when you take Him out, there's not something or someone there to raise a hand and say, we shouldn't do it that way. Yeah, I know my flesh is craving, we got to do it that way. The flesh encourages self-effort. It motivates us to depend on legalism and self-effort. It's all about, look what I did. When I leave office or when I leave something behind, the legacy. Look what I did. No, I want my kids to say, look what God did. I want people to say, look what God did through that man or that woman. I want my kids to say, look at the legacy my dad left because he knew Jesus. Not look what I did. Because I have nothing to do with it. The reason why I have the intellect, the good looks, the smarts, the ability is because of the God inside of me. Not because of me. I've just taken the principles of the Word and have applied them, and it made me look a little prettier on the outside. It's made me speak more intelligently on the outside. What you see on the outside is what has been getting placed inside of me through Him, through the study of His Word. It's the spirit man flowing out, no longer the flesh man coming out. No longer the angry man, the angry grandpa. But with self-control, calling what it is what it is. The flesh seeks identity and purpose. I seek the identity of Christ Jesus. I want to be like He is. I want to speak like he speaks. I want to act like He. I want to do miracles, signs, and wonders like the Bible says, and even more than what Jesus did, I'm going to be able to do. But I have to walk just like Him. I got to be identified with Him. And being identified with Jesus sometimes may cost you something. People may make fun of you or mock you or say that you're just religious. No, I ain't religious. I'm relationship, man. The person who trusts man is empowered to fail. But the person who trusts God is empowered to succeed. If you trust in man, eventually you will fail. Because man's plans always fail. I'll close with one last scripture. In John. John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. This is the New Living Translation. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. It ain't how good you is. It ain't how smart you are. It ain't how pretty you are. It's not how if you lived in the White House. It doesn't mean that you're a Rockefeller or come from high society. You're an actor or a doctor or a lawyer. No. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes everything, right? Isn't that what it says here? So when you're the movie actor and the football player that scores a touchdown and you win the Super Bowl or the World Series or the championship in hockey, the Stanley Cup, it's because your human efforts got you there, right? I mean, that will get you to heaven, won't it? Because you got a Stanley Cup ring or... Oh. Human efforts accomplish nothing. Nothing. And the very words I speak to you are spirit and life. God was saying in this scripture, spirit and life is, I liked it, spirit and life. I guess it's spirit life. Amen. Hallelujah. Alone gives you eternal life. It's the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. This morning, you got to choose the spirit over your flesh. The flesh, we said, refers to your mind and your will and your emotions. Those need to be changed by the power of God's Word on a daily basis of bathing in the Word through prayer, by doing things God's way. Being led by the Holy Spirit, as we said last week, is your best choice. Now, I know Paul even made some mistakes. Paul wanted to always do what was right, but then he still made some mistakes. He continued to do things wrong because of the flesh. The more we can get the flesh out of the way and we move into the Spirit, the less problems we'll have in our life. I'm waiting for Congress to call me up so I can get over to there and have a little discussion with them. Amen. Some radical pastor from Las Vegas is going to show up. Set the record straight. See, our struggle as Christians is a struggle against the flesh, which is our mindset that opposes God's Word. We always want to take the quicker route, the easier way, the diet pill will help us lose 50 pounds. That don't ever work. It's called tape the mouth shut, eat less, and go exercise twice as much as you eat. I don't even have to be a doctor to tell you that. I tried it all the other ways. I tried the green pill, the blue pill, the orange pill, this pill, the deal-a-meal. I had to get two sets of deal meals because the first set didn't feed me enough. I mean, you know, Jenny Craig and Jimmy Sobo and this one and that one. And what was that other guy that used to clap in all the time and do all the, you know, Richard Simmons. I mean, I've been on every diet plan. And I've just learned that if I just eat less and exercise more, I lose weight. Amazing. It's like in a conversation, if you listen twice as much as you talk, you'll learn something. Whew. When you take Jesus out of the courthouses and you take it out of the Congress and the Senate and the House and you take them out of the schools, you're going to have things called violence and murder and death and destruction, and you're going to have more chaos. Why? Because you don't have a great equalizer called the Spirit of God in that dwelling place. You're taking them out. So consider today that you'll follow the Spirit of God in your life. You've been recreated. You have a new identity. You're tied into Jesus. Don't keep it a secret. Let everybody know everywhere you go. We can choose whether we will have confidence in who we are in the flesh or who we are in Christ Jesus. Why is it that we sometimes sit so quiet when we see chaos going on, when we see sin going on? I'm going to make a new rule for us. Anywhere we go and we see people that are acting wrong, we're just going to start calling out the name of Jesus. Two guys are holding hands or kissing, we're going to say, "Hell, let me tell you about my Jesus." Hey, you want to be loud? I'll be loud too. Lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. To tell you where to go. Because we got to say no to this stuff. It starts to aggravate me. It agitates me. My son laughed. He goes, "Dad, you're just getting all upset about that." Well, because it angers me that it's sinful. It's hurtful to my Father. It's hurtful to a one that died on a cross for you and for me. See, I'm getting this more personal now. You're affecting my family. I don't know about you, but if someone came knocking on your door that was uninvited in your home, you would stand to defend them, wouldn't you? When you're out in the marketplace and someone tries to come against my wife or my kids, I'm going to get in front of them and shield them and defend them. But why wouldn't I do that for Jesus? Why can't I call out what I see according to the Word? I do it in love. You don't have to have AIDS. My Father in heaven can heal that if you already got it. He can set you free. I mean, do I have to be that bold in front of these people? It's running rampant. Building more bars for these people. We want to have our own little place to gather together. We've got to have our own hotels. I love the person, but the sin I don't love. Jesus loves the person. He just doesn't love the sin. If he was okay with that, and he would have had that in the Bible. It's okay but that. He didn't say that. This morning, if you catch yourself going against the Word of God, you're probably walking in the flesh. Remember, the flesh seeks to identify with itself and wants a purpose. It's motivated by self-effort, legalism, and doing it my way. This morning, we've got to call upon the name of Jesus. We need to focus on walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. This morning, we're going to worship God, and we have a few songs to worship Him this morning. And I just want you to be free. Don't worry what people are going to think. Don't worry what people are going to say, because they're already talking about you anyways. So if you lift up your hands, or you dance around a little bit, or you run around the building. Who cares what somebody says? I'm just getting rid of some more of that flesh and being filled with the Spirit. Amen? You don't need to be walking around going, speaking in tongues and all that. I mean, you can. We'll be running from you. But we can lift up the name of Jesus. We can praise Him everywhere we go. We can walk in the Spirit of things. When I find myself in circumstances and situations that are hard or I'm being pressed, I just have to lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere I go. I may not have any other word on my lips but the name of Jesus. I used to use other words before. But I got my mindset and my will and my emotions in control. Most of the time. I'm like Paul. Sometimes I do miss it. Sometimes I do get in the flesh and I have to go to God and say, Lord, I messed up. I'm really sorry. I was just trying to clean the temple like you did, but you did it in love and I was just angry. I was angry with stupidity. And I get angry because God has got so much better for us. And I start to see the potential in people. When you meet them or you shake their hands, I can feel that there's something that God wants to do through them, but they don't even know it. They may get saved and change a whole generation for Christ. I didn't see two women ever have babies or two men have babies together. Maybe God wants to hook a man and a woman together so they can have a baby that will end up maybe being a president that serves God. That will speak through like a pulpit. Press probably won't cover it though because, you know, there's not enough supernatural going on. That's what needs to happen. The House needs to get, and the House and the Senate and the White House, all needs to get hit by the Holy Ghost. Be laid out like the book of Acts. You want to see legislation get changed. You want to see things get on the right course. You want to see the economy come back. You want to see lives change. You want to see some stuff shake loose and everybody fear America because, man, they got this God, let me tell you. Read the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And when the boat was sinking and the boat was in travail, and he was sleeping in the boat. He said, call upon your God, call upon your God, call upon your God. Somebody start calling upon. And when they figured out it was Jonah was the guy that was causing the trouble, and he said, just throw me in the water, God will take care of it. And he threw him in the water, and guess what happened? The seas ceased. And they began to praise God, his God, and worship his God. And their houses and their houses got saved. Why? Because one that changed, one that went against God, then got in alignment with God, changed a whole bunch of people on that boat. House can change. The Senate can change. Men can change. Women can change. Because sin's sin. Doesn't matter if, you know, it's homosexual or you're a murderer. It's all the same, God's eyes. Lying cheater is all a lying cheater. Cheating on your taxes is still called cheat. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give God what's God's. And every time you give God what is God's, guess what you get? You get blessed. You don't come up short. Amen? You get blessed. You get favor. You get increase that comes your way. I don't understand his mathematics system. It doesn't line up with mine. But I know when I give, I get more. I put out more, and my daughter's a perfect example. She was out, and she was being a blessing, and she yesterday she was cleaning up her purse, and she had given, and there she found $10. That was God just saying, I just wanted you to know I'm going to bless you. Because she went through her whole purse before we went shopping, because she needed to borrow money. And she said, Dad, I went through my whole purse, and there's no money in my purse. And I said, well, you've been blessing God? Yeah. Well, God will probably bless you. Now, I didn't plant the $10. She was cleaning her purse because she got a new purse. because the other one didn't hold all the other stuff, so she needed a bigger one. And God blessed her. Amen. You ever open up a suit coat or something that you haven't worn, and all of a sudden you find it, and there'll be a $20 bill. Now, where did that come? I just got that dry clean, and they didn't take it. Or you found $10 on the road. Was drug money in your hands? It's God's money. Amen.